Good morning. This is Dallas Townsend with a CBS World News Roundup. The Israeli parliament today began debate on the agreements that Prime Minister Menachem Begin signed with Egyptian President Sadat at Camp David. Dan Raviv reports from Jerusalem.
Prime Minister Begin told the Knesset it was faced with a painful decision, but he said the Camp David Accords are the path to peace and they should be approved. Begin was interrupted constantly by right-wing members of his own Likud party, who are opposed to the removal of Israeli settlements from the Sinai and to the freeze on West Bank settlements. Among them, Geula Cohen, who kept on shouting as the Speaker of the Knesset called her to order. After 15 minutes of shouting, the Knesset voted to eject Geula Cohen. Prime Minister Begin started from the beginning of his speech again, asking the Knesset to recognize this as a great moment, which could lead to the signing of a peace treaty with Egypt within 2 or 3 months. When the Knesset resumes its debate on Wednesday, it will almost surely approve the Camp David Accords, clearing the way for the conclusive peace talks with Egypt. Dan Raviv for CBS News, Jerusalem.
Secretary of State Vance arrived back in Washington after midnight from his Middle East journey, and we'll get that story from Bernard Kalb.
It was a 6,000-mile flight from Saudi Arabia to Washington with a stopover in Syria. Vance returning here in the middle of the night about 2:30 a.m. His mission produced no dramatic surprises. He encountered a resistant Middle East so far as selling the Camp David Accords. Jordan remains skeptical, but also wants to remain on the fence. Syria remains bitterly opposed. Vance spent a surprisingly long time talking with President Assad in Damascus, almost 5 hours instead of an expected 2. But it was obvious that no one's mind was changed. As for Saudi Arabia, the Saudis still feel the Accords fall far short of what they would like. But there's a feeling, too, that the Saudis, without making much public fuss, may indicate that the Accords at least deserve a starting chance. Through it all, the Vance message to his listeners was that there would be no second Camp David summit to meet their demands, that the Accords already worked out can help defuse the Middle East, and that the other countries in the area should support the peace process and help shape the final product, or risk seeing the peace process unfold without them. Bernard Kalb, CBS News, Washington.
President Sadat is making it clear that he is determined to go it alone in the search for peace under terms of the Camp David agreements. Doug Sager has details in Cairo.
To underscore that determination, Egypt's government-owned press today gave prominent coverage to an Israeli radio report, saying that Israeli Defense Minister Ezer Weitzman will be here soon for preliminary negotiations. But at the same time, Sadat is making every effort to draw in the most important Arab moderate, Saudi Arabia. And Sadat is not giving the so-called rejectionists the cold shoulder. The Secretary General of Sadat's new political party has offered to hold a constructive dialogue with the so-called rejectionists, Syria, Libya, Algeria, South Yemen, and the PLO. And Sadat is sending his top aide, Hassan Tahomi, to Geneva to meet the Saudi monarch. With King Khalid, the Sadat aide will play the Jerusalem card, arguing that at Camp David, Sadat won crucial American support for the eventual return of Old Jerusalem to Arab control. Doug Sager for CBS News, Cairo.
Bob McNamara in Amman, Jordan, tells us it's reported there that King Hussein is about to make a flying tour of the Persian Gulf to talk with Arab leaders in that region about Jordan's position on the Camp David Accords. There's also a rumor in Amman that Syrian President Assad will go to Jordan either today or tomorrow to meet with King Hussein. No confirmation of that report. Insurgent forces appear to be fighting on today in some parts of Nicaragua. The civil war isn't over yet. Bruce Hall reports from Managua.
An effort to work out a truce between the government of President Anastasio Somoza, striking businessmen, and rebellious youngsters has apparently failed. The Catholic Archbishop of Managua, Miguel Ibando y Bravo, says the church is suspending all efforts to resolve the conflict, which has left more than 1,000 people dead and severely damaged the Nicaraguan economy. Last month, a group of Catholic bishops worked out a compromise agreement that gained the release of 2,000 hostages at the National Palace. But Archbishop Ibando y Bravo says President Somoza's response to the attempts to work out a peace agreement have been unacceptable. Meanwhile, business leaders have decided to continue their month-long nationwide strike. The strike has been extremely effective in the countryside, but in recent days has not been as effective in the capital city of Managua. The businessmen hope the strike and the refusal to pay taxes will add pressure on President Somoza to resign. Bruce Hall, CBS News, Managua, Nicaragua.
William Jordan, a special emissary from President Carter, met with Somoza over the weekend. The American embassy has confirmed that, but it declines to say what was discussed. Managua hears speculation that Mr. Carter, through Jordan, is urging Somoza to resign. Jordan has been discussing the Nicaraguan crisis with leaders of several Central American countries, Honduras, Guatemala, and Venezuela, and he may have visited others. Gunmen in Spain today shot and killed two members of the paramilitary Civil Guard. The incident occurred in the central marketplace of San Sebastian. No one has admitted responsibility, but authorities assume the killers were members of the Basque separatist organization. Today in California, this is the first day of medical classes for Alan Bakke, the man whose name became a symbol of the fight against so-called reverse discrimination. Gaylord Walker of station KFBK in Sacramento has the story.
In entering the medical school at the University of California at Davis, Bakke brings to a close a court battle that began when he unsuccessfully applied for admission in 1973 and 74. Bakke's fight ended with a 5-4 vote in the U.S. Supreme Court, which struck down the school's preferential admissions program for minorities. Under that plan, the school set aside 16 of the 100 openings in the medical school for minority students. Following the Supreme Court ruling, the school, rather than drop one student, added Bakke as the 101st student in the freshman class. Some demonstrations are scheduled for the UC Davis campus, and extra security police have been added. Throughout his court fight, Bakke has shunned publicity and is expected to attend classes without comment. Gaylord Walker for CBS News, Sacramento.
Classes resumed today in Bridgeport, Connecticut after a 19-day strike by public school teachers. The walkout ended when both sides approved a new contract recommended by the state labor commissioner. 260 teachers who were sent to jail for ignoring a back-to-work court order have been released. Over the weekend, tentative settlements were reached in teacher strikes in the city colleges of Chicago and at Wayne State University in Detroit. The House Assassinations Committee is now starting the fourth and final week of its hearings on the murder of President Kennedy. Jim McManus brings us up to date.
The sequence of testimony so far has pointed to Lee Harvey Oswald as the lone assassin. This week, the committee will consider whether Oswald acted with the knowledge and encouragement of others. In short, was there a conspiracy? Evidence already in the record has undermined, if not destroyed, some of the more exotic theories, and they are expected to fall by the wayside. But there is contradictory, confusing, and often incomplete evidence also in the record concerning Oswald's life in the Soviet Union, his contacts with Cuban exiles in the United States, and Mexico City contacts with the Russian and Cuban consulates only weeks before the Kennedy murder. The committee has been unable to resolve those issues, and they may become the unanswered questions in the panel's final report. Congressman Richardson Pryor, chairman of the subcommittee focused on the Kennedy murder, said as much in his appearance yesterday on the CBS News broadcast, Face the Nation. But he also said that when the committee returns to the Martin Luther King Jr. assassination in November, it will present evidence suggesting that James Earl Ray may have had some help in the murder of Dr. King, although he said a conspiracy will be difficult to prove. Jim McManus, CBS News, Washington.
Economic problems, both international and domestic, will be much on President Carter's mind in the early days of the week, and we'll hear about that from Diane Sawyer.
This afternoon, he is scheduled to address the annual meeting of the International Monetary Fund and the World Bank, where concern is high about the sagging condition of the American dollar. Tomorrow, the White House will turn to trade and unveil a new administration policy on exports. On the domestic side, this may be the week that the administration discloses its new inflation-fighting plan. The president may announce it himself at a press conference expected to take place on Thursday. There has been speculation that the plan will establish voluntary guidelines calling for a 7% limit on wage hikes and a 5.5% limit on price increases. The president, however, has said only that the new measures will call for some sacrifice from everyone. Diane Sawyer, CBS News, Washington.
The dollar closed slightly higher against the yen in Tokyo and opened slightly lower against all the major European currencies except the British pound. The price of gold set another record. It opened in London at $217.25 an ounce, up more than $3 from Friday.